This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
This is Generation Next for another Monday night. It's 18 minutes past 7 o'clock. I'm Jacob and I'm with you until 8 o'clock tonight, flying solo while Kyle's doing board meeting stuff. Boring radio stuff. My name's Jacob, as I said. Get your text messages in 0427 JOY 949 or email onair at joy.org.au. Right now, I'm talking to Samar Hadid about tonight's Q&A, and this is the conversation I had with her earlier.
Samar Hadid is the 2010 Australian Youth Ambassador to the UN, among many other roles, and she appears on tonight's special youth episode of Q&A on the ABC. Samar, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Now, you're the 2010 Australian Youth Ambassador to the UN. What is that role? How did you get that?
I basically applied for the role through the United Nations Youth Association and the Australian Government, who select one young person every year to represent the concerns and the interests of young Australians on the international stage. And I was very privileged to come across many inspiring young Australians who are working for change in their local and national communities. And I was quite fortunate in representing these voices at the United Nations General Assembly last year.
Wow. What's that like going to the United Nations General Assembly? Do you make an address?
Yeah, I was very lucky to make a statement to the General Assembly on behalf of young Australians. In my statement, I very much highlighted the plight of young Indigenous Australians and young people from vulnerable backgrounds, like young carers and those facing homelessness. So my speech, I think, was a representation of the consultations I did in every state and territory in Australia last year. And those issues were very much highlighted in those consultations. Besides the statement, I also engaged in negotiations, negotiating the child rights resolution for Australia, which was an incredible insight into diplomacy and how decisions are made on an international level.
Now, how did you first get asked to appear on Q&A? Is it like in my head, Tony Jones calls you up and asks you personally to come on?
If only it was. No, not at all. The producers actually emailed me initially to go on the show last year. And after my second appearance, they've asked me to come on again. So, I enjoyed myself on Q&A. I mean, it's a challenging format, a challenging forum, but you get to have a lot of fun as well.
Yeah, so this isn't your first appearance on Q&A?
No, it's my third.
Who's your main sparring partner the last couple of times you've appeared on the program? Because I think this is the first youth special this time.
Yes, this is this first youth special I've been asked to go on. It's changed, actually. My first time, it was Chris Bowen, where I was really challenging him on asylum seeking and refugee policy. This was before he became the immigration minister. But my last time on, I think I butted heads with Piers Ackerman, who unfortunately I had to sit next to throughout the entire show. So yeah, it was quite uncomfortable.
Yeah. I'm having sort of slight difficulties with the telephone line. It's not the greatest line. That's all right. I think we'll just sort of soldier on. Have you met any of your other panelists?
No, I haven't met them, but I'm really excited to meet them all. See what sort of discussions we come up with. I'm sure it's going to be really controversial and diverse discussions. If anything, going by the feedback and the internet traffic which we've created in the lead up to tonight, I think it should be a very, very interesting show.
Yeah, I think Twitter's going to explode, personally.
I hope so.
I'm hoping we're going to trend worldwide. I have a feeling we're going to do it.
I hope I trend worldwide.
Now, what topics are you really hoping to cover tonight?
Well, you know, as a human rights advocate, I'd hope that the issue of asylum seek and refugee policy, specifically the Malaysia deal, does come up and is highlighted, given the fact that today is World Refugee Day as well. But, you know, I enjoy lighthearted topics as well. It doesn't all have to be so serious. Mm. So we'll see what happens. Roll with the punches and go with the flow on this show.
Yeah, yeah. There was some suggestion that because it's the youth program that there'd be a lot of talk about Lady Gaga, Justin Bieber, Twilight, Harry Potter maybe.
If that's the case, I'm walking off.
For Twilight or
quite
Harry Potter?
Honestly, I'm taking a stand. I will not engage in that sort of conversation. I'm sorry.
I'm not a fan of Twilight either, but Harry Potter is my religion. Do you know the topics that you're going to cover, or do you have some sort of idea, or is it a surprise to you as much as it is for the audience?
You do get a brief idea of the topics, but it's always very random. You don't know what's been asked, and that's, you know, the democratic nature of Q&A and the surprise element. So you could really be asked the most random of questions you just never have otherwise guessed, really.
Yeah, yeah. Now, one of the topics that I personally would hope to be covered on the program is gay rights. Now, yesterday we heard the news that the Queensland Labor Party has endorsed marriage equality, and the push is on for Federal Labor to follow that lead. Now, you're frequently cited as a Muslim spokesperson, and the general impression that I get from the media is that the Islamic community, much like the Christian community, is opposed to issues like gay marriage. Do you think that's a fair assessment?
Well, the Muslim communities are very diverse across Australia, so there's no one opinion on this issue.
Yeah.
But, you know, as someone who advocates on gay rights issues, I would really, really hope that Federal Labor actually heeds what's going on the state level and finally, considers gay marriage and marriage equality as a policy. Necessary change, and if politicians are really serious about heeding what political opinion polls are saying, then it's very clear to me that the majority of Australians do want to see gay marriage in Australia, and by ignoring this fact, our political leaders are very much ignoring public opinion.
Mm-hmm. Now, Q&A is filmed in Sydney, am I right?
Yes.
Yes. Do you guys see each other before the show, or do you want to keep it fresh and make the sort of the talking points?
It just depends on when everyone arrives.
Yeah.
We probably do see each other when our makeup is being taken on. So,
that's my favourite part of Q&A, the little bit beforehand when people, the makeup artist putting the bit of foundation on Tony Jones.
It's all fake.
Yeah, yeah. I envy that lady that puts the foundation on Tony Jones, to be honest. Now, one last question. Have you practiced your catching arm? Because I've heard that shoes are often thrown on Q&A.
Oh, happily. throw those shoes back. I have no qualms about hurting people who throw a shoe at me.
Absolutely. Well, we've had a bit of a dodgy phone line, but thank you so much for joining me. And best of luck tonight on Q&A.
Generation Next. Love it.
Generation X on Joy 94.9. Now, coming up after the break, we're talking to the Chief of Staff of the Australian Christian Lobby, Lyle Shelton. I wasn't too sure whether I wanted to talk to him, but I think it's important to get all sides of the perspective. Mm-hmm. And also, I'm joined by Kyle in the studio now.
Hi,
boring board meeting stuff.
Yeah, no, you know, it's hard at the top.
Yep.
So you just sort of, you live with it.
Yep.
And you come into the show late.
I hope I still have a job.
Second preference is you. Sorry.
This is Generation X coming up after the break, Australian Christian Lobby. If you've got questions that you'd like me to ask, 0427 Joy 949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
We've already had a question in.
Oh wow!
It's an exciting.
Well, keep them coming in, because if it's good, I'll ask it, and I'm sure it is.
If it's not, we'll laugh at
it. If it's not, we'll laugh.
We'll read it out and laugh at it.
This is Generation X.
Joy 94.9.
Now, on Generation Next, we've tracked the gay rights movement in Australia for over a decade now, and it's easy sometimes to forget when we talk about how far we have to go, just how far we've come. At the time I was born, many Australian states were debating laws that made homosexuality a crime. Now, gay people are visible at just about every level and are represented in all walks of life. Over 60% of people support full marriage equality for gay and lesbian Australians, and three quarters believe that it will come in this country. I've invited my next guest on because I believe it's just important that we speak to people who disagree with us, just as it is important to speak to our allies. Lyle Shelton is the National Chief of Staff of the Australian Christian Lobby, a group opposed to extending marriage rights to gay and lesbian Australians. Lyle, thank you so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure, Jacob. I've got a bit of a scratchy line here, so you're fading in and out, but I'll do my best to listen in.
Okay, I'll try to talk loud. I don't know. First of all, my first question is, why are you opposed to gay marriage?
Yeah, well Jacob, we have supported the extension of rights under Commonwealth law to same-sex couples. There was 84 laws that were amended in 2008, which extended all the same rights that de facto heterosexual couples have to same-sex couples. And so there is equality under the law, but I don't believe equality under the law means that we should then redefine marriage, which is defined and has been for millennia between a man and a woman. And that's out of no disrespect to gay and lesbian people. It's I guess, out of recognition of the diversity that we have in our society and the fact that that marriage is defined as that between a man and a woman, and equality doesn't mean we have to redefine marriage to make it something that it's not.
Lyle, I have to call you out on that because marriage, as we've known it historically, has not always been between a man and a woman. It used to mean pretty much a business transaction where one man would give property, daughter, to another man who would become wife. And straight people, to their credit, have changed the definition of marriage to mean two equal partners making a decision to spend the rest of their lives together. Now, to say that the definition of marriage has never changed, I think is really dishonest. Now, how do you think that gay marriage will... Actually, I'll let you respond to that.
Yeah, well, look, I'm not sure that that's the case, Jacob, with great respect.
But
you can look back millennia
and,
you go back thousands of years and there's ancient texts, which show that marriage has always been between a man and a woman. Now, look, at various stages
but
of history, there may have
Lyle,
been...
Lyle, it
well,
hasn't.
Hang on, Jacob, if you let me finish, there may well have been at various stages of history where, for convenience of property, marriage may have had those sort of connotations, but certainly culturally for millennia, it's always been between a man and a woman. And the reason for that is obviously because, the union of a man and a woman produces children, and marriage is what links biologically the generations. And that's an important thing for children.
But Lyle, by that logic, then a brother and sister could get married because technically a brother and sister can have children. We don't children is not the basis by which we legislate for marriage. An infertile couple, an old couple, they're not getting married because they want to have children. They're getting married because of a love for each other and a commitment to spend the rest of their lives to each other. I don't see how gay and lesbian Australians are any different from those couples who can't or choose not to have children.
Well, that's true. Not all marriages can produce children, but that's not the point. I mean, the fact is that the union of a man and a woman is the only union that biologically produces children. And we know that children need the love of a mother and a father, and we shouldn't create a situation where we sever marriage from that important function. Now, if people want to have other sorts of relationships, we live in a very tolerant and diverse society, and that's fine, and people are free to pursue that. But just because people are free to do that doesn't mean we should redefine marriage for the rest of society.
Yeah. How are your ideas about gay people informed? Because every credible psychiatric organisation in Australia has stated that sexual orientation is natural and not something that can be prayed away or changed. The Bible teaches that we're created in God's image, and does it not follow that God wouldn't make gay people if he didn't want them?
Look, I'm not sure about your analysis of the research.
But that's a serious question, though. Yeah, I mean,
I don't agree that the research, is settled on that. There's certainly been a lot of activism in research circles, which have produced certain results. But I know the American Psychological Association changed its position on homosexuality because of political activism, not because of any research. So, I have some concerns there. I also know that there's many people who have lived the gay and lesbian lifestyle who now do not. So it is possible to change, just like, you know, that people can change from a whole range of things. I don't believe it's settled that that gender that sexual identity is something which is hardwired, and certainly, you know, twins studies that have been done certainly don't show that. They certainly don't show a predetermination in terms of people's sexual identity. So I suppose we're going to have to agree to disagree on that point, Jacob. And that's not out of any disrespect to you know, gay and lesbian people.
No, but hang on, that is basically fundamentally very disrespectful, because it's basically saying to me that I've made a determination to live a certain way and to choose a certain lifestyle.
I think there's certainly cultural influences that affect people, but
I listen to too much Lady Gaga.
I'm not convinced that the born gay thing is a settled thing. In fact, there's many researchers who would say that it's not.
Right. How would you respond if your child came? I'm presuming you've got children.
Yeah, I do, Jake. I mean, you know, we get asked this question a lot by people on, you know, on the other side of the gay marriage debate. You know, it's like anything that your kids do, with which you may or may not agree with, you show unconditional love. It's not a case of being homophobic or anything like that, and you know, I guess we get a bit tired of some of those slurs and labels that get thrown around. I mean, I've worked with gay people all my working life. You know, I'm certainly not homophobic. I have coffee, collaborate, been friends with. So, you know, it's not about those issues. It's about our concern for marriage and its place in our society. It's about our concern to be able to teach children that marriage is between a man and a woman. And it's also, you know, I guess this thing is, if this is about marriage equality and equal love, as we keep hearing, why would you stop at redefining marriage between, you know, people of the same gender? If really it's about equal love, I mean, there's plenty of cultures and religions who think equal love exists between, you know, three or more people. So,
well, that is,
you know,
a complete red herring.
No, it's not a red herring.
Wait, let me speak.
You should watch what's happening in the courts in British Columbia at the moment.
Lyle, let me speak.
Logically, you've got to extrapolate the logic, Jacob.
I'm extrapolating the logic. I've looked at every single country in the world that has legalized gay marriage. There has been absolutely no movement for anything that you're saying. That argument is a complete red herring. It's embarrassing that you'd raise it.
30 years ago. No, it's not embarrassing.
It is embarrassing.
No, it's not, because
it's... And it just shows how completely thin your arguments are.
Well, I know every time we raise it, and you know, I think it's a valid thing to raise, you know, people go into apoplexy about it. But, you know... If it's about equal love, why wouldn't you extend, you know, if you redefine marriage to something other than what it is now, why wouldn't you redefine it to suit the various constructs that some religions and cultures want? I mean, there's a polyandrous movement in America of 500,000 people. They've already begun the fight for recognition and legal rights there. So I don't think it is a red herring. I think it's a valid concern, and I think it's worth, you know, discussing as part of the debate.
Yeah. Lyle, we had a question from one of our listeners. We invited listeners to ask questions. One of them asked, if children need a mother and a father is the basis for not allowing gay marriage, should we be making legislation which permits it's the removal of children from single-parent families?
No, not at all. Because I think wherever possible, let me just start with this. Where a child finds itself in a position, you know, where it only has one parent, that is most likely because of tragedy or desertion, and these are undesirable circumstances. I think most people would agree that, you know, a single-parent arrangement is not what most people set out to. Most people set out because they want to raise kids together. Now, where the state necessarily has to have an involvement in the life of a child because of some sort of a failure in you know, whether it's a tragedy or a desertion or whatever, and the state has an obligation to always act in the best interest of the child, and a child should always have at least the right to begin life with its biological parents wherever possible. Now, that's not always the case, and where it's not possible, obviously other arrangements need to be made, but we shouldn't be mandating through the state fatherlessness or motherlessness to a child.
To extend on that, what's your attitudes towards families that have extended and one parent is now in a same-sex relationship in terms of exposing the children to that? They both have a mother and father that are biological mothers and fathers, but one parent has a same-sex partner.
Well, you know, I'm not, you know, I think that's just as bad as, you know, a heterosexual couple who are, you know, having some other relationships outside of the biological union that produced the child. I mean, that creates uncertainty and confusion for a child. And again, you know, I think we really should be focusing on what we know children need, and that is stability, that is the love of a mother and a father, and preferably their biological parents wherever possible. Obviously, tragedy and desertion, you know, mitigate against that from time to time, but we shouldn't be creating situations that just suit the lifestyle choices of adults instead of the needs of a child. And where there's a clash of adult rights with those of a child, I think as in a civil society, you put the right of the child first.
I think we're going to move on. The Australian Christian Lobby has involved itself in politics at the highest level, commanding the attention of even the atheist Prime Minister. Now, reading the Australian Christian Lobby's website, as I did today, of the last five press releases issued by your group, four out of five are explicitly about gay marriage. Why?
Oh, sorry,
hey, wait.
Sorry, Jacob, just dropping out a bit there.
I'm saying four out of five of the last ACL's press releases are about gay marriage specifically. Why is the Christian Lobby obsessed with gay issues when Jesus himself said nothing about homosexuality?
That's a good question, Jacob. And, you know, we'd prefer not to be issues all the time. And we haven't chosen this debate. I mean, if you look at how many press releases or how many Google alerts for Australian marriage equality come up, it's far more than
ACL. But that's because Australian marriage equality is devoted to marriage equality. You're a Christian organisation. Why not be more Christ-like?
Well, we're devoted to preserving marriage.
When did Jesus talk about homosexuality? Never. He never mentioned it. It feels like you're using your religion to push an agenda. Why not come out, and I use that term not lightly, why don't you come out and say, look, we are just against gays and we don't like gay marriage. Why do you have to use religion as the Trojan horse?
Well, we're not using religion as a Trojan. I mean, obviously the Christian religion, there is a point of difference between the Christian religion and the lifestyle of the gay and lesbian community. There's no doubt about that. There's a lot of things the Christian religion and the moral code of the Bible and the moral code of other religions are against as well. In a free society, people are allowed to practice their religion. They're allowed to advocate for the values of their religion in public. The democracy will settle whether or not those values are accepted or rejected, just like the gay community has every right to promote gay marriage. I don't dispute that. So, you know, let's have a contest of ideas. Let's have a civil public discussion. In the end, we do have a democratic society, and the decision will be made democratically, I hope.
Mm. Now, the Christian Lobby was in the headlines a few weeks ago with its campaign led by Wendy Francis, who has spoken to Joy before, against the Rip and Roll safe sex ads. Now, the ACL's consistently denied that its campaign was based on the fact the couple depicted are gay, and they're a real-life couple, by the way. And the group is responsible for the ads has said that the similar campaigns featuring straight couples or men on their own drew none of the same attention. How do you respond to criticism that your campaign was and is entirely about reducing the amount of exposure of gay people?
Well, look, we have had a long-running concern about the sexualisation of children in society, and ACL's not unique in that. There's many other groups, non-religious groups, that have that concern. I don't think it's appropriate for a condom ad, whether it features straight or same-sex couples, to be in the face of children while they're waiting for the school bus. End of story. And that's all we said. Now, that some gay lobbyists jumped on this and conflated it way beyond what it was, but we still stand by our concern about having condom ads. And look, if you're concerned about children, you know, it's the right of parents to choose when and how they talk to children about issues of sexuality. A six-year-old should not be confronted with condom ads in the bus shelter as they're waiting for the school bus.
My parents had no problem talking to me about condoms, and I wasn't mentally damaged. I don't know, maybe you might
recall asking.
Yeah.
Well, look,
kids are naturally curious.
You guys talk about research. I mean, there's a truckload of research that deals with the premature sexualisation of children, and there's a truckload of research that shows concern that children are being sexualised prematurely by the messages and advertising by other media in our society. And that's why the government, is moving to try and reform the classification system. That's why we have people on both sides of politics acknowledging the classification system is broken. Outdoor advertising is part of that. It's been a long-running concern. People who are concerned about kids, whether they're religious or not, child advocates right across the country. If you read some of the submissions to Senate inquiries in the last few years, we'll show this. So this is not a unique concern. It's not an anti-gay agenda. It's an agenda that is concerned for the innocence of children, and many parents are concerned about that, as are many child psychologists.
Well, I think we might disagree on that. Lyle, we have to let you go. One last question. If and when gay marriage is legalised in Australia, what do you expect will happen?
Oh, well, look, I don't think it'll be the end of the world. I think the gay community is probably doing us a favour. I mean, marriage has been in trouble for a long time. Heterosexuals have done really badly at marriage over the last 30 or 40 years.
Divorce is a dirty word.
This is the debate about marriage and its place in the culture, how it's serving children that we need to have. And gay marriage is just part of that. But there's a wider discussion about the breakdown of marriage and the breakdown of values in society and how that's affecting children that needs to be had. And this is just part of that wider context. So whether it's legalised or not, I think we'll continue to have that discussion, because we are seeing, detrimental effects in our culture and our society, and children, unfortunately, are bearing the brunt of that.
I think recognising loving, committed gay relationships can only strengthen marriage. That's my personal view.
What if we call the legal rights and having a same-sex partnership marriage, and we'll just live with that?
Marriage.
Marriage would be nice, because that would be fair and equal for everyone.
Well, can I ask you guys a question? How many same-sex couples, a proportion of... we know that gay and lesbian couples make up... just over 2% of the population. I mean, what percentage do you think would want marriage? I mean, we're intrigued, because, I mean, the values of fidelity and monogamy that we see intrinsic to marriage, and not those we see promoted through, gay and lesbian festivals and the Mardi Gras, and that's fine, you're free to do that, but it just seems like the values of marriage, of fidelity and monogamy seem antithetical to that which we see celebrated in the gay and lesbian community.
Lyle, you asked me a question. I can't speak on behalf of the gay community, but I know personally I'm in a loving, committed, monogamous gay relationship for about 2 years now, and I cannot wait to get married to him at some point in time. And I don't think that you have a right to tell me that I can't. I'm sorry. I know we're disagreeing here, but...
I could say, well, maybe you guys don't have a right to tell me that marriage should be redefined. There is a difference. And look, I appreciate the way we've been able to have, a good, robust discussion. There is obviously a clash. Doesn't make my views less valid, but at some stage society's going to have to settle this issue. And I guess that's the debate that we're having as a community now.
Lyle Shelton, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks very much, Jacob.
Cheers. Bye. This is Generation X on a Monday night. Just 5 minutes to go. That went really quickly.
It did. And a fantastic interview, Jacob. Very well done. I came in 3 minutes before and take any glory. But it was a very impressive argument. And as you said, a very robust argument. And that's what's important, I think.
Yes, yes. I wasn't really sure if I wanted to have him on. Not just because I don't agree with him or, he doesn't... his views don't represent that of Joy 94.9, yep. Obviously. But also, I was saying before, when I get angry, I do the ugly cry thing that Oprah talks about.
So shaking.
I think I did okay. I was just heart palpitations, because I do get very annoyed and very passionate.
The important thing is, though, that both sides get represented.
Yep.
And it's very good that ACL and Lyle would come on to something they don't necessarily agree with and chat it. And thanks very much as well for messages and questions that people have sent through.
Yes, they've come flooding in.
It's very, very important because Tristan is loving the show, having a beer with a nice warm heater on.
Oh, that sounds good.
Thank you.
And another person says, good on you, Jacob. Well done for the interview. Well conducted. Thank you for that. That means a lot to me.
Yeah, it's also very important, because we can sit here as the advocates for Joy and for the community and have these discussions with these people that not everyone might be able to get the opportunity to. So sending messages in, having opportunities like this is what Joy is here for.
This has been another Generation X podcast for Joy 94.9. Make sure you tune in next Monday from 7 p.m. as well as Tuesdays throughout June for the Kyle and Jacob Breakfast Show. Check us out on the Twitter page, twitter.com/GenXJoy949, or search Generation Next on Facebook. Let us know what you think of the interview with the Australian Christian Lobby, and be kind to yourselves. We'll see you guys next Monday.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.